Is it a tough time for the FBI or what? Good Lord. These people are, well, you have to wonder. You saw the testimony on Capitol Hill of Christopher Wray and others talking about the fact that they were tipped off about the problem with Dr. Nassar. They did nothing about it for months and months. More than 40 more young women athletes were abused, right? You've got that going on. You've got the problem with the FBI and the Trump-Russia hoax and what went on there. And that's now really gaining speed with a special investigation there. And then you've got, you know, the lead agent in the Whitmer case getting booted because he beat up his wife after a swingers party. I mean, it just gets ugly. It's like reading the sports page in a way. Doolin is here, an attorney, Professor Steve Doolin. Great guy. Doolin, how are you?
How are you?
It's tough to be an FBI agent these days. I mean, what a mess they've got going on there. It's just one thing after another, one black eye after another. I mean, this is supposed to be the premier investigative agency in the world, and it's one embarrassment after another, isn't it?
Well, it's the agency itself is questionable. It was founded by a devious sociopath called J. Edgar Hoover, who was a minor federal bureaucrat who wanted to accumulate power for himself and create job security for himself. And he succeeded in that, using the power of the federal government mainly for his own purposes, for 29 years, I believe it was. And so the agency itself is rooted in a questionable view of the Constitution and an extremely questionable founder. And there's some honest questions, some serious questions about whether it should even exist.
Well, should it?
I'm not sure that it should. But if you look at the history, there have been some successes. There have been some times when a national agency was certainly helpful. The question is, should it basically just be a lab and some kind of a support system for local police who don't have the resources?
Well, let me ask you this. I want to go back to what you said there. I want to go back to what you said. You know, a minor mid-level bureaucrat, J. Edgar Hoover, how did he build this thing if he was basically a nobody?
Well, he realized that he was in charge of an agency that was empowered by the underlying statute to have armed federal agents. At that time, I believe the only other agency that could do that was the Postal Inspector's Service, was allowed to have armed federal agents. And of course, nowadays, every one of the alphabet soup agencies has at least some members with badges and guns, and the federal government police agencies buy up tons of ammo and firearms every year and spend a lot of money training a lot of federal police officers, law enforcement officers. And that wasn't the case back in the 1930s when J. Edgar Hoover was, I think he was 28 or 29 years old, and he suddenly realized that he was uniquely situated, and he hired another sociopath called I'm mental blocking on his name, but the fella who shot Bonnie and Clyde,
right,
was essentially just someone who enjoyed killing people, and they together built the agency in its early days, and spent a ton of time and energy focused on getting the FBI mentioned in movies, and they eventually that morphed and evolved into the famous FBI TV series starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. And there was a huge PR campaign from the outset to make the FBI the G-Men into heroes in the American culture. They even had a comic book.
Right.
And the whole idea was that they were going to save everybody from all these horrible things that were happening. And there was a very interesting little quirk where the bank robberies happened. There were a ton of bank robberies during that era, driven by technology or the lack thereof, and the failure of the states to keep up with jurisdictional issues. So a lot of the bank robberies in the early 20th century occurred near state lines, and automobiles were used because affordable, reliable automobiles really burst on the scene in the 1920s. And there were machine guns available in every local hardware store,
right?
Because there was no law prohibiting them. And that's a great terror weapon if you're going to be a bank robber.
Sure.
Very few people were actually killed by machine guns, interestingly. But the jurisdictional lines were hard and fast. So if I escaped across the state line between, say, Wisconsin and Michigan in the UP, the pursuit, the police pursuit would stop at the border. And that was the little hook that old J. Edgar needed to say,
that's all
well,
he needed.
You need the FBI.
By the way, he served for 48 years. 48. Yeah, because he started in 1924. I did this little research while we're here. Under President Coolidge, right? As a Bureau investigation, that became the Federal Bureau of Investigation in 1935. So he was there for 37 years. He was there from the time Coolidge was president until the time Richard Nixon was headed toward his second term. I mean, that's remarkable.
It really is. And he kept files on presidents.
And everybody
and
else.
Files on, and everybody else, you know, including Martin Luther King. And there is strong evidence that J. Edgar Hoover himself composed false evidence against people in order to blackmail them.
Probably
and
did.
Some of these people were government officials and famous civil rights leaders, et cetera.
Man, I feel like I just went to class. You see, I got to leave it there. But, you know, see, there it is. Doolin, the professor, comes out and gives us instruction on the questionable foundation and formation of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. See, Doolin, you just knocked it out of the park.
Thanks, Gerber.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's good stuff. I'm gonna read more. You see, thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, he ripped the peel right off the baseball, boys and girls. Watch that. It's gone.